Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, for those that might not know, I spent the last week at our conference junior high camp down at Lazy W Ranch, and this is my fourth year straight being on a leadership team the last 3 years for our elementary camp, and this year I graduated from elementary camp to junior high camp. Woohoo! We had 93 middle school campers led by 23 16 to 22-year-olds and then us old ladies on the leadership team. And this year was extra special because I'm used to having my kids along. Maddie went to elementary camp last week. I had Aiden and Kylie both at junior high camp that they just love. Camp's their favorite part of the year. But this year we also had two other kiddos from our church, two youth, Ellie and Mahala, came. And it's been working on trying to get kids from our church to come. You're going to love camp. You're going to love camp. And they came. And it was amazing to watch them thrive at camp. And I think the biggest came on Wednesday night when our girls' cabin, the cabin that those four girls, the Kylie and Ellie and Mahala and then my niece were in, got signed up to do the meal moment, the blessing before the meal. And I'm thinking they're going to do one of our usual, you sing a song and then somebody prays. That's what you usually do. And they got up there, and what had they done? But Ellie and Mahala leading it, they had taken a popular song and rewritten the lyrics into a prayer song that they taught and led the whole camp in. 120-something people, their first year at camp, and they're up there leading a song and praying. And I could not have been a more proud pastor at that moment. But it was a really incredible week, and I wanted to share a little bit of the message with you because as we're going through this message, it's like this isn't just a message for middle school kids. This is a message that everybody needs to hear. As the main theme of the week was peace works. And you can interpret it either way, peace works like it really does work, or peace works the works that we do. And us and in our society right now that seems like it's just getting more and more polarized every day, and an us and them, and which side are you on? Peace is needed more than ever. But the question is, how do we get that? How do we bring peace into this world that has so much brokenness? And we began it on Monday. And Monday we were looking at the scripture about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And traditionally, we take that message of the washing feet that Jesus is serving the disciples, and then the disciples are called to worship, to serve the world. But we went a little bit different direction with it because we were thinking about us in this world and all of these identities that we wear and all of these personas that we put on in a world filled with filters. You know, you snap a picture, but you put a filter on it so it makes you look better or adds angel wings and all of these things. We distort our image to try to make it look better, more presentable to the world. And we realize we need to be washing those filters off. Like Jesus was washing their feet to get them down to who they really are, and who they really are is who was needed in the world. We asked these youth to put stickers on themselves of what makes them them. And like for me, I had to put one on that said pastor because that's such a huge part of who I am. And next to it had to have mama because I'm not me if I'm not mom. That's such a big part of who I am. I had to put a sticker that says introvert because I'm an introvert that's working in an extrovert's job. And so that's something I wrestle with every day of how I balance that and do that. I put athletic on there because that's part of who I've always been and a place where I felt that I'm able to shine and excel, whether it's on the court or the field. We put these stickers on. We thought about who we are and what the world sees and how the world judges us. But then we had these kids take those stickers and put them on the cross. And it was the coolest looking cross with these like 500-600 stickers of qualities and identities on it. It was like dripping with them because they were like sticking to each other. And having to take them off, and we replaced it with a sticker that said, "Hello, my name is Beloved." Because what does it come down to? We've got all these identities, characteristics, qualities, these things that make us who we are and how the world sees us and what we see in the mirror. But when it comes to God's love, there's only one thing that matters, that you are a child of God. And God doesn't love you because you're introverted or extroverted. God doesn't love you because you're athletic or musical. God doesn't love you any more because you get good grades or any less because you get bad grades, right? That there's nothing that we could put on a sticker that makes it whether or not God loves you, and nothing you could put on a sticker that makes it God loves you more or God loves you less. Because what does it come down to? But each and every one of us is a creation of God that God loves unconditionally and with an infinite amount. And if there's one thing that you could hear, just like them, hear that God loves you with an unconditional and infinite love, and there's nothing that you could do to increase that love because it's so big already, and there's nothing that you could do to decrease that love. That God is pouring out that love upon you every day, all throughout the day, whether you recognize it or not. We're hearing God's love poured out through the music today. We're feeling God's love poured out to us with handshakes and hugs and smiles and words of welcome and excitement. We're feeling God's love poured out upon us as we feel the sunshine on our back. God's love is just continually pouring into us at a point to where it's overflowing. Why is it overflowing? It's overflowing because God calls us to accept that love that's poured into us and to allow it to overflow to those people around us. Now, within this has some fun challenges. And I know challenges, okay? I have to tell you, my biggest challenge. We arrived at camp on Sunday, and we're looking over the curriculum, and we've written most of it, and we know it, but some of the paid staff had written the morning watches, the, like, introduction to the day before breakfast, and we hadn't seen them yet. And Becky's sitting there in the room that we meet, and she goes, "Stacy, have you seen this?" And I said, "Seen what?" And I looked at it. And what are the glaring words on the page? "But the leadership team will wash their feet." My blood pressure immediately began to soar. Okay? I'm gonna share with you my vulnerability. I have a thing about feet, okay? If you've noticed, all these Monday, Thursday services, we've never done a foot washing service. And why have we never done a foot washing service? Because Pastor Stacy doesn't do feet. It's not that they're gross. It's not that they're dirty, which they are. But especially this foot washing was like people walking around in sandals at a camp that's made of dirt, okay? And I know these feet, and I'm like, feet. I mean, to me, feet are just these very intimate, very personal things that God has put on the bottom of your body. And I don't touch other people's. I don't even touch my children's. I asked them at camp when we were talking about this. I'm like, "Have you noticed I don't touch your feet? Like, I make sure your dad's the one that, like, cuts your nails for you." And they're like, "Oh, yeah, huh. I don't touch theirs. Nobody touches my feet. I don't do pedicures. Like, I just don't do feet." And I'm like, I can't wash these feet that have been sitting in paint. And like, I'm like, I can't do this. And the camp manager that's in charge of everything, she came in. And I'm like, "Kat, you're one of my best friends," which she really is. I said, "I love this camp and I love what we're doing, but I can't wash feet." She's like, "Just suck it up and do it." I said, "No, I can't do feet." She's like, "You have to. It would look a little strange if the whole leadership team, except the pastor, saying, 'We'll wash your feet and serve you.' Like, I can't do it." And we leave that meeting. Eventually, she comes back and she says, okay. "We figured it out. I talked to the person in charge, and they're going to be drawing a heart on the ground with their painted feet to show God's love, and they'll put some handprints in too, and you can wash their hands. We'll make an accommodation for you." and one I appreciated so much that they could understand and make an accommodation for me. But I slept on it, and it's coming to the next day. And I'm like, all right, this is about God pouring out God's love on us. But then I'm realizing, wait, the next day I got to preach to these kids. I got to stand up and preach to these kids that Jesus says, love your neighbor. And how would I ever stand up and preach to them, love your neighbor? Let God's love pour out upon your neighbor through you, past the fears and the challenges that you see, if I've just refused to love these two young adults by washing their feet. And I had this conversation with God about putting me in this situation, and God did not have much sympathy with me. I did wash a foot with a sponge. I will admit my hand never touched the foot, only the sponge. But I was this close to the foot. But here's Mary and Martha, right? Mary and Martha, in this story, have a choice to make, to live within the bounds of where they're supposed to be, the bounds of what's comfortable to them, the bounds of where society says they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing. And then this place of privilege and blessing that's crossing a boundary. And what do we see? We see Martha in the safe and familiar kitchen, right? Doing what she's supposed to be doing, serving behind the scenes, fixing the food, ready to clean up once all the men have cleared out. And here's Mary. She says, I know that's where I'm supposed to be. I know that's what's comfortable. I know that's what everything says I'm supposed to do. But I can't pass up this opportunity. I can't pass up the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus and have him poured out to me, to sit and just be present, to listen, and have my life changed by him. And so she breaks that barrier. She breaks away from the familiar and the expectation and sits at his feet. And Martha gets mad. Nope, she's supposed to be here, right? But what does Jesus say? She has chosen the better place. Every day we're filled with choices. We're filled with choices of how we let God's love pour into us and whether we're going to accept it. Every day we're filled with choices of how it is that we're willing to allow that love to pass from us onto other people. Whether we're willing to move into places that are uncomfortable. Whether we're willing to move into places that are outside society's expectations and norms. Whether we're willing to let that love pass out of us into somebody else, even though it challenges us and makes us a little bit scared with our blood pressure up a little bit. But what happens when we do that? When we cross those lines, when we step out in faith, when we move in to places that Jesus calls us, we find ourselves as a source of healing within the brokenness of this world. Where we find in the midst of conflict and injustice and things that are unfair, in the midst of loneliness and hurting, we find that we our presence of peace that is so desperately needed. This week, the image for our peace works was origami cranes. And I don't know if you know the legend of the origami cranes, but the legend says that if you fold 1,000, you get a wish. For the campers, we asked them to write a name inside their origami paper of somebody that needed peace. And then we as leadership took the time to teach the staff how to fold an origami crane, which is not the easiest thing in the world. Takes some exactness and precision that not everybody has the art of. And then they took the patience to teach the campers how to do it. And we brought it to worship. And here we had all these cranes and talked about the difference that we can make in another person's life and the big difference that it makes when we all gather together. And maybe it wasn't 1,000, but there were a whole lot of wishes that were going to be fulfilled because of the way that we were going to reach out to the people in those cranes. To realize that we can make a difference, even if it's just in one life. And I have to tell you, sometimes these kids get it. My kids yesterday were leaving church, and these cranes came up, and Midori leaving came up, and my ambitious kid said, we should fold 1,000 for Midori and get a wish for her. Well, Midori, we didn't make it to 1,000, but we got almost 200 for you. Folded out of love and well wishes to go with you wherever you go. My friends, there's a power of God's love that's within you, even if it's just folding a piece of paper and saying a prayer. It's like we did this last week. We gave out bracelets to share God's love. If it's a hug, if it's a handshake, if it's a note, if it's an opening a door and saying good morning, if it's stepping past that line and speaking up for somebody that can't speak for themselves, if it's being in the midst of conflict and working to diffuse it to bring peace, you have the love and power of God within you. You have the ability to make a difference in the people around you and to make a difference in this world that absolutely needs you in it. My friends, will you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for your infinite and powerful love, that in a world where we think that we have to earn everything, that we have to measure up to get what we get, that you are a God that defies that and gives us the power of your unconditional love, not because of anything we've done or are, but because of who you are, a God so filled with love that you love all of your creation to the greatest of your godly ability. And we pray that you help us to see that love poured into us is a deep and infinite well that we can draw from to share your love with people around us. That we have a power to make a difference. That we don't need 1,000 cranes to grant a wish, but that we can grant a wish just through our words, our actions, and our presence. Help us through your Holy Spirit and your love to be a force that this world is not ready to face, a force that is bringing peace in the midst of brokenness, a force that is bringing love to even the saddest of places, a love that is as powerful as you, because you are in each and every one of us. God, may this day be a day where there is greater peace because of what has happened in this place with you. For all of this, we pray in your mighty name. Amen.